It also gives me a great pleasure this morning and privilege. We've been hearing from him this weekend, and he's been with us all weekend in many different capacities in some of our workshops and meeting and at the board meeting last night. But today, our national president, President Mark Riccobono, will give us the presidential report. And without further ado, here is our national president of the National Federation of the Blind, Mark Riccobono.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, Ron. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling great, sir. How are you?
Okay, I'm doing great. Except, you know, I haven't been called for a door prize yet. That's the only problem.
We'll work on that.
We'll work on that, sir.
All right. Well, greetings, fellow Federationists. And, you know, it's always good when we're ahead of schedule already. So that's great. So I'll try to keep us on schedule and not use the extra time up. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. And I want to send you greetings, not only from myself, since I have the chance to be here, but from the whole Riccobono family. Usually coming to a convention like this, I'm on the road, I'm away from them, but I'll see them at dinner, which is pretty cool. And by the way, thank you, Ron, and to the affiliate. Apparently, as I was leaving to rush over here yesterday to take the board meeting here from our building, a lovely pie showed up from the affiliate. So thank you very much for that. We appreciate that. So I'll talk about that maybe later. So I am talking to you from the Office of the President here at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute. So while Micah welcomed you to your home, I'm also going to welcome you to our home here at the NFB Jernigan Institute, since this building belongs to all of us. And I'm not in my pajamas. Just want to be clear about that. And, you know, this office, although it's the Office of the President, it has symbols of the organized blind movement in many ways. I'm not sure. I do have my camera on, but way behind me in the distance in the corner, about 10 feet off the ground, is an umbrella. And that's the umbrella that I used for our umbrella mosaic in 2017. It's always fun when new people come to my office and they usually start looking around. And if they get brave after a while, they say, you know, you have an umbrella in your office. And the umbrella's open. And it allows me to tell the story of our umbrella mosaic and creating a Guinness World Record with members of the Federation. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the nature of the work that we do. And we could spend a lot of time talking about all of the things that we do. I'm going to try to do this so that I stay on camera. So I'm going to read Braille standing up. So if I'm a little choppy, that's why. And I'm going to talk to you from our building here. And a lot of people think that our national office, that's where the actions emanates from. And that just simply is not true. I want to emphasize that we are powerful and diverse because of what happens at the grassroots level. I have the responsibility of coordinating our work from this office, and our staff helps with that. But it happens because of what you do coming together in Indiana, along with our other 51 state affiliates to make that happen. Now, you heard the 1 minute message to kick off today's convention. And if you haven't memorized the 1 minute message, I encourage you to do so. Another important part of our brand is this statement, and that is the National Federation of the Blind is the only organization that believes in the full capacity of blind people. Now, let me just stop there. That's not the end of the sentence, but a lot of people would say, oh, that's pretty arrogant. Come on, we believe in the full capacity of blind people. And are there other organizations that believe in the full capacity of blind people or say they believe it? Yeah, probably. But we don't stop there. The National Federation of the Blind is the only organization that believes in the full capacity of blind people and has the power, influence, diversity, and determination to help transform our dreams into reality. It's not simply that we believe in blind people. We do something about it. We do something about it every day. And I had the opportunity to write about that in our banquet speech this summer. And if you haven't heard it, reflected on it, I encourage you to do so. So what makes us powerful is we don't just say we believe in blind people. We back it up with action. We back it up with our own lives, really. And COVID-19 has challenged us to do that in new and dynamic ways. And that's why we're together in this forum today. And so I want to talk to you about the nature of what we're doing in the context of our brand and our brand values. So you've probably heard me say now hundreds of times that during COVID-19, we focus on two things, connecting and protecting blind people. And these are some of the things that we do best, right? Connecting, bring people together in a community, which we've been doing now here for the last couple of days during this convention, starting with the Family Feud. I'm glad Ron Brown pulled it out for us at the last minute there. Thank you, Ron. Having fun, staying connected, getting to know each other at a personal level, having some laughs as the technology doesn't work. And the socialization is fun. The connecting is fun. Getting to know people so that we can rely on them is fun. We also have real work to do. And COVID-19 has taught us that it is more important than ever before that we protect the civil rights of blind people in this country. And not only that, expand them. We have values in our organization. I'm going to talk to you about our 6 core brand values. And the first is collective action. That is the thing that allows us to be powerful in both connecting and protecting. We recognize that we can do so much more together than we can do as individuals. And so we come together in an organization as we have since 1940 to make a difference for all blind people. And that means we have an organization where you don't get everything you want. I don't get everything you want. Ron doesn't get everything he wants. We compromise with each other to do what's going to work for all of us. That's the nature of a movement, of an organization. And that brings me to the important thing we have always worked on, but we've been trying to emphasize increasingly so and get back to over the last 6+ years. And that's membership. And if you're out there watching this convention, participating in it, and you are not yet a member of our organization, we invite you to do so. If you are out there, I hope you have your membership coin. I have mine here. And we need you to join our organization. We need you to check us out and then come be part of our movement. We need you to help us achieve the collective dreams that we have. I want to thank each and every one of you who is a member of our organization, because that's an important commitment. And not only is it an important commitment, it makes a difference in the lives of so many people, including me and my family, on a daily basis. The work that you do as a member of this organization impacts me in a real way, impacts my wife and I as blind people advocating for our daughters in the Baltimore City Public Schools. And let me just say, if you think that the Baltimore City Public Schools looks at Mark and Melissa Riccobono and figures that they better do everything that we say, you're wrong. You're wrong. They don't. And it's unfortunate that they don't do what they need to do for any of the blind kids. But we have to go through the same struggles as other parents. And the reason we can do that, the reason we have the strength to do that, is because of other members of the Federation. Now, in our organization, we have a code of conduct, and that really sets the standard for participation and conduct of members and leaders of the organization. And that document, which you can find on every page of our website, articulates also our commitment to diversity. And I want to tip my hat to this affiliate for being part of the diversity, equity, and inclusion discussion within our organization. You know, we know that we're stronger because of our diversity. We also know that that doesn't make it easy, because there are real questions still to be answered. And we operate this movement in a society that, frankly, has held many groups back, not just blind people, Black people, people who are LGBTQ. And the list goes on and on. And we have to operate our organization in that context and realize that social justice is part of what we need to do. And we need to do it authentically from our point of view as blind people. And we need to eliminate the idea that blind people are blind to color, because we know that's simply not true. And so we're doubling down on our efforts to make sure that this organization is as diverse as possible. And if you're someone like me, that's a hard conversation, you know, because as a white male who grew up in the Midwest, who's tried to have good values, who's been open to all sorts of people in my life, felt I was doing pretty good. But certainly in the last 6 months, have realized what I wasn't doing so well and the implicit bias that I might bring to the work that I do, not just within this organization, but outside this organization. And so I want you to know that I'm on that journey with you. And I'm really honored that we have people like Ron and Jean Brown helping us work through that, loving us through that, but also pushing us to ask ourselves the hard questions. I want to underscore one more thing. Diversity, inclusion, membership, that's going to make the difference for what this movement does in the future. A lot of other things are going to help, but that's key. That element is key. This organization has always had a degree of diversity since I've been in it. It can be better, and we need it to be better. We want every blind person to contribute to this movement. It is America's civil rights movement, and it is the only organization that believes in the full capacity of blind people and does something about it. So I would encourage you to engage in our membership efforts, our diversity efforts, and please bring your perspectives and ideas to that conversation. Now, another core value we have is courage. And in fact, courage is the thing that has helped us make progress over the last 80 years. So only this organization has stood against some of the most pernicious problems impacting blind people. But we're not done yet. We need the courage to go the rest of the way. We've come a long way, but there are still real problems, and some people feel like the technology we have today, the advances we've made are enough. It's not enough. It's not nearly enough. But man, our courage is making progress. I was so proud about 3 weeks ago. The United States Commission on Civil Rights has nothing to do with blind people, nothing mostly to do with people with disabilities in the past. But because of our work and our testimony in front of the commission last November, they released a report that called on the nation to eliminate Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act to guarantee all people with disabilities a fair wage. Let's be real. That happened because of the leadership of the National Federation of the Blind. We've been beating on this longer than anyone else. We're not there yet, though. We still have to pass a law that makes it happen. And so I encourage you to get members of Congress in Indiana to support the Transformation to Competitive Employment Act in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. We're making great progress, but we haven't passed the bill yet, so we need to keep going. We have only a handful of co-sponsors in the Senate, and we're gaining people in the House all the time, but we need to get as many people on that bill as possible. We can be proud that we've gotten this legislation and the concept into some of the political platforms, but the words are meaningless until we get a law passed that says you must pay people with disabilities a fair wage like everybody else. And it's because of our leadership that we're going to get there. So continue to pour on the determination, the strength, and get our members of Congress in Indiana to support that legislation. In the meantime, you can do something about it at the state level. Now, Maryland, we've eliminated the use of 14C in the state of Maryland. Alaska's done it. New Hampshire's done it. You can do it in Indiana. You can get your state legislature to say that no employer in the state can use that provision of federal law. And I would encourage us to do that, because effectively we're going to eliminate it for blind people, whether Congress acts or not. But we're going to get to a day when Congress will act. Now, there's also other things that take courage. The COVID-19 situation has given those who want to attack the Americans with Disabilities Act a forum to do so. And this organization has pushed against proposed bills in the past that have attempted to limit the Americans with Disabilities Act. There's a bill in Congress now to say that because of COVID-19, that certain protections of the Americans with Disabilities Act should be put aside. There's a bill specifically called the Safe to Work Act that diminishes the ADA protections during COVID-19. We call foul on that. You don't get to suddenly diminish our civil rights protections because the nation is in a pandemic. We don't get to do that for anybody. And so we're pushing against this law just like we have before. But it's not just about pushing back. It's also about pushing in. You've already heard at this convention about the fact that many blind people have been adversely affected by COVID-19. Most certainly, our blind entrepreneurs, our Randolph Shepherd vendors, who have pretty much been sidelined because of the current situation. And the government agencies, the COVID relief bills have done nothing to support them yet. So we continue to push for an appropriation in the next COVID relief bill that would specifically support blind vendors and the disparate impact that COVID-19's had on them. And so I appreciate this affiliate helping to lead the charge in that way. The House has already included that provision in a COVID-19 bill, but we need the Senate to do so and the White House to support it. So be on alert. We do believe this is going to be taken up one of these times soon by the Congress, and we're going to need you to act. Excuse me. Okay. Another value we have is respect. Our faith in the capacity and dignity of blind individuals is at the heart of our mission. We assert the right to be treated fairly and equally, and we reject society's low expectations that come from the ingrained belief that blindness is the characteristic that exclusively defines us. Respect. And I know this affiliate's working on respect because I heard you talking about the thing that I always talk about first under respect, and that is the right of blind people to be parents, caregivers, grandparents, guardians of any sort. And we have been leading the charge on this issue for a long time. And there are still, even in 2020, so many situations where blindness is used against parents, caregivers, guardians to diminish their ability to care for those they love. And that's just simply not fair. We need to protect the rights of blind people to be parents, caregivers. You think about, it's not just parenting. Think about our parents who are all getting older. And I know I'm an only child, so I'm it for my parents. And I fear what might happen if some official, health official or government official decides that I'm not fit to do so simply because I'm a blind person. My parents don't have another child to turn to. And that's my responsibility. That's part of fulfilling the circle of family. And that right is being diminished by people that really don't understand the capacity of blind people. So we need to continue to protect this right. I applaud our Indiana affiliate for continuing to march to the Capitol to say we need a bill to protect blind caregivers. We've passed this bill in a number of states. We're prepared to help you do it. And your doing so makes a difference. You can visit blindparents.org and learn about our mentoring program where we try to connect blind parents with mentors. And that's, you don't have to be a parent. If you want to be a parent someday and you're looking for someone to talk to about how do blind people do the things parents do, that network is there for you. This network in the Federation is here for you. I know when my son was born in 2006, our first child, it's now coming up on 14 years ago. Unbelievable. You know, the doctor came by and said, you know, we looked around in there. We didn't find a manual. And I thought that was really cool. Because she didn't say that because we were blind parents. She said that because we were new parents. And that's the truth for all new parents. You can read all the books you want. It's on-the-job experience that really makes a difference. And the love you put into your children, that's what makes the biggest difference. For blind people, we shouldn't be prevented from doing that. Another value we have is full participation. We assert that blind people have a right to live fully and equally in the world. And from this flows our expectations that society will not artificially prevent blind people from full participation. We know that the world is better off when all of its citizens can contribute the full range of their talents. And this might be one of the most important things I'm going to say to you today. We need you to participate. We need you to go out and vote in the fall elections coming up on November 3. I haven't looked at what the situation is in Indiana. Maybe you can vote now. I can tell you in Maryland, I've already voted. We need every blind person to go out and vote. And I get it. Voting's not accessible everywhere. We still need you to vote. We need you out there voting because the more blind people we have putting their voice in the mix of the American democracy, the more potential progress we can make. And I'm not here to tell you who to vote for or how to vote. I'm just telling you, we need you to vote. We need you to vote for this movement because that's how we're going to get our issues across also to the elected members. Now, you can go to nfb.org/vote, V-O-T-E, and get all sorts of information. When you do vote, we need you to complete the blind voters survey that you can find at nfb.org/vote. And whether you have a good experience or a bad experience, we need you to fill out that survey because it is the most comprehensive data set on blind people, our experience voting. We've been collecting data in every presidential election since 2008. Also, on election day, we'll be running a blind voters hotline. You'll get the information on our listservs. If you go to vote on November 3 and you run into an issue with a voting machine or a polling place, we have a hotline you can call and we'll give you technical assistance about what to do in that moment. I recognize that Indiana may not be where we need it to be in terms of accessible voting. We still need you to figure out a way to vote. And I'm not telling you to put your life on the line by going to a polling place in person if you're not comfortable with that, but don't let the current situation prevent you from voting. And yes, we may not have complete equal access to a private independent ballot in Indiana today, but your voting is going to help us get there. Catalog your story. We in this organization are working for complete accessibility in voting. That means voter registration is accessible. That means blind people have access to a private, independently fillable ballot in any form, whether it's at the polling place, whether it's via mail, or any other means that's permitted to vote. And eventually, we're going to get to a place where we have that everywhere. And we're making great progress. We have, I don't know how many, I lost track of how many states in this election cycle we have sued, complained to, are negotiating with. And frankly, we have much more knowledge about accessible voting than they. And we've set the groundwork for this years ago. 5 years ago in Maryland, we won a landmark case that gave blind people access to absentee voting. The state of Maryland said that you have access to voting. You can go to a polling place. And we said access to one form of voting is not equal access. If we hadn't fought that case 5 years ago and won, blind people would be in a very different place today. So document your voting experience, but please vote. It's the most important thing we can do. And if you haven't come across it, check out our YouTube channel so you can hear our little ode to voting in the spirit of Alexander Hamilton, done by one of our 2020 scholarship winners. Now, we have other things we want to do. We want to gain access to medical devices and exercise equipment. We want Congress to create standards to do this. So we've created a bill we call the GAIN Act. Greater accessibility and independence through technology. We all know the impact of technology in our lives, especially now because of COVID. And the government should create the standards to make this a requirement in all of the industries. Also, we need to do more to get our message out, our message of public awareness and the capacity of blind people. And this is an important month to do that because we're in Meet the Blind Month. And this is the time when we really try to push out to get people to hear our message, to know our message of empowerment and the true capacity of blind people. I encourage you to share your ideas about what more we can be doing, especially in this socially distanced time, to create understanding about the capacity of blind people. Now, a bill that we think we're going to get passed before the end of the year is the Access Technology Affordability Act. And we really, really, really need you, not right at this moment, but definitely tomorrow and Monday when this convention's over. We need you to call Congress about this. We need to pass the Access Technology Affordability Act. This would give a refundable tax credit to blind people for the purchase of access technology for the blind. And it doesn't do everything we want, but the impressive thing is it's a starting point. It has bipartisan support. I mean, hardly anything in Congress, hardly anything, even COVID really barely has bipartisan support. We have 128 co-sponsors on this bill in the House from both sides of the aisle. And some of the most extreme sides of both aisles support this bill. We have 26 co-sponsors in the Senate. We can give you the bill numbers if you want. But the important thing is we need you to get on the phone on Monday and get members of Congress to support the Access Technology Affordability Act. We believe that when the White House and Congress decide to really negotiate a COVID relief bill, that this has a very good shot of being included. And so while the November election may bring us to a lame duck session, we expect some things to move in Congress, and this is one. And so please don't give up. Continue to call and put the pressure on Congress to get this bill passed. It will set us on a path of having a tax credit that blind people can build on in the future for not just being a blind person, but for actually spending our own dollars to purchase technology that benefits us. Access to technology is important, but Congress is not the only way to get it done. We've worked with the Social Security Administration to make sure that all of their check-in kiosks and all their field offices are accessible. And we're working now on getting them to implement that. We've been pushing like crazy on the rideshare companies, both Uber and Lyft, to stop the discrimination against blind people who use guide dogs. And I know it's still happening, but we are making progress, and we're evaluating right now, going back to court with both of these companies to push them even harder on civil rights protections for blind people. So keep collecting data and sharing it with us because it's important. We all are experiencing, especially if you're a blind student or you have a blind child in a public school today, or you're a blind parent, the fact that educational software is just simply not accessible in so many places. I could talk to you all day about this as a blind parent working with two blind daughters who are doing online learning in public schools. There are so many software packages that are not accessible. We can do something about that. We need our members in Indiana to point parents to our educational technology survey. We're collecting data on the technologies that work, those that don't, so that we can focus our energy on targeting the biggest companies to get the best advantage out of getting them to be accessible. And we're making progress. You heard at the national convention that we've signed an agreement with Pearson, and that came directly out of a resolution we passed in 2019 that finally got their attention. And we have a strong agreement with them to work together on accessibility. And we've told them very clearly that we're going to hold them accountable. And they're working hard, and we are going to hold them accountable. And it's going to make a difference in the future. But that's just one big company. There are many others. And so we need you to continue to collect data, submit data to us about educational software, and help the parents in Indiana work through the problems. Because at the end of the day, we need to keep moving forward in schools today. And so we need a temporary solution, which is the network that we have in this organization. Now, we still think that Congress needs to pass a law to create standards for educational technology. We've been pushing a bill now the idea of a bill for about a decade. And you can see that had we gotten people's attention, had they been doing something about it, schools would have been in a great position for COVID to work with blind students. Well, they didn't listen. But this is a great opportunity for us, because the schools that didn't get it, the agencies that didn't get it, the members of Congress that didn't get it, they're going to get it now because they're living it. And so we're going to have a great chance of getting a bill, an even stronger bill, in the next Congress. And we need you to continue to collect those stories. You know, healthcare has always been a topic of interest to us, but of course, for all of us, it's at the front of our minds, right? Because we're living in a pandemic, and access to healthcare, telemedicine, medical devices, websites, we all have to live with it in a real way. We're continuing to push forward on this. We have a working group that's looking specifically at the accessibility of medical devices. A lot of medical devices have touch screens that are not usable by blind people. We're also challenging health organizations. We're challenging a hospital in North Carolina that refused to provide Braille copies of bills to a patient, and therefore the patient didn't know or understand exactly what they owed because they refused to provide Braille. We have people who are having trouble signing up for available healthcare because the websites are not accessible. These are all things we're working on, and I think you know that well in Indiana, because we're also working together with our affiliate to push on the public entities in the state of Indiana to get accessibility to forms to apply for public benefits and programs. It's not just healthcare, though. We want to work, and we want to pay taxes, as crazy as it is. The IRS has made it very difficult for us to pay taxes because it doesn't provide us with accessible formats, especially of the notifications it sends us about what we owe. So we signed an agreement this year with the IRS to get accessible notifications. And what will happen eventually is you're a blind person, you'll be able to tell them, I want all of my IRS communications in this format, and they'll automatically send them to you. You don't have to ask every time. If you want hard copy Braille, they're going to give you hard copy Braille, and you don't have to fight about it. This is huge for our organization, for our members, and for setting a new standard of equal access in government. Another area of full participation for us is jobs. And I could talk a long time about jobs. We're working on making sure the job search sites are accessible. The testing and assessments that you have to fill out to get into a job are accessible. The application and on the job, working with employers to make sure they're building accessibility into their technology. Employment is a very hard area because it's hard to get legal settlements that impact more than one blind person. So it's a tricky area for us to navigate, but we continue to find ways to push forward with employers and to set a high standard of employment. And we look for ways to improve the employment provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that brings me to our legal program. You know, as America's civil rights organization, we have the biggest legal program for blind people anywhere in the country. And there are many, 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 many more cases out there than we can take as an organization. So we look for these things. We look for systemic cases. That means cases that are going to impact more than one blind person. We look for ways to push the law forward. You know, we don't bring a lot of web accessibility cases anymore. We've made the law there. We've gotten the courts to say what we need them to say. We can bring more cases, but we would just be repeating work we've already done. We once in a while bring a web accessibility case if it will advance what we've done. We intervened in the Domino's Pizza case, which was being appealed to the Supreme Court. And thank you, Supreme Court, for not taking this ridiculous case where Domino's basically refused to make their website accessible, said they didn't have a responsibility to. We intervened in that case because if web accessibility was going to go to the Supreme Court, we don't want anybody else but the National Federation of the Blind arguing that case. But we don't bring a lot of those cases because we've already set the precedent in the courts we need. We bring other case. So we look for systemic cases, and we look for things that are going to advance the priorities of this organization as set forth by our convention. We spend millions of dollars on legal a year. And I can tell you this year, we have spent a lot of money defending voting for blind people in many, 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 many states. I don't feel bad about that because I think we have now changed the landscape of voting forever for blind people going forward. And our legal work has done that. But all that's to say, we can't take every case. What still works best for our full participation is for each and every one of you to become better and better self-advocates and to help each other with that advocacy. That brings us to scale much faster and much better than bringing court cases that take a long time and are hard to get adequate relief out. By the way, I want to say one more thing about legal case, and that is we heard a lot about the lawyers that bring frivolous lawsuits. We don't do that. Our organization, we sign public agreements. You can view all of our settlement agreements at nfb.org/legal. Some people say that we participate in our legal program in order to make money. You can read our 990 and our financial statements. We don't make any money on legal. We spend a lot of money. It's not a moneymaker for us. It's a huge money loser. But at the end of the day, it's a huge civil rights gainer. And that's why we do. So many other areas we're working on. Autonomous vehicles. You're going to see blind people using self-driving vehicles very soon. And that's because of the work of our organization that really started 10 years ago with our Blind Driver Challenge. I know that Newsline is big in Indiana. By the way, hats off to Indiana for being really a nationwide leader in leveraging our Newsline system. I'm not going to talk more about that, but I will highlight that we've released the new mobile app for Newsline, which includes the core elements of the KNFB reader technology. So you can download Newsline. You can take a picture of a piece of print and read it because of the technology that we now make freely available to blind American. Education. So much we're doing in education. Thank you to Indiana for having some students in our Braille enrichment program, our in-home edition, where we taught over 270 children and their families Braille this summer through our virtual in-home academy. We sent families 7 pounds of Braille-related materials through the mail. And your work, your follow-through with those families in Indiana has made a great difference. We continue to do mentoring in this organization. We have a career mentoring program that's run from our national office. I would encourage Indiana to get involved with that and to think about setting up a mentoring program that coordinates with our national career mentoring efforts. Here, Anil Lewis is our executive director for blindness initiatives. He coordinates that. Not only do we believe in blind people, we give them the tools to be successful. So you know that we give away long white canes to any blind person who wants them. We give away slate and stylus, any blind person that needs a tool to read Braille. We don't want access to the tools to become an issue. Also, we continue to pursue the participation of blind people in science, technology, engineering, and math. We've been doing this now for well over 15 years. Shout out to Micah Ball, who was one of our early students and has been a huge player in a number of our STEM programs. We now have taken our efforts to do spatial engineering research to find out how we not only get blind people into engineering, but how we use the authentic experience of blind people to impact the engineering education industry more broadly. And that is really cool. There are dozens of other programs I don't have time to talk to you about that we're working on to impact the full participation of the blind in society. Okay, value number 5 is democracy. That's obvious. We're an organization run by blind people. Blind people make the decisions. We elect blind people to steer our organization. The process of being a member and having a voice in this movement is core to what we do. And I'm proud of what we did this summer for our national convention. Other organizations, they shut down. They said, you know, we're just not going to have a meeting. Or if we're having a meeting, we're not going to do serious business. We said, no, we're not going to do that. If we're going to have a convention, blind people need to continue to run the convention. And so we built a way for blind people to participate, to vote actively in our convention. And man, was it a great convention. It's the largest gathering that I've participated on Zoom anywhere. And I've been in a lot of Zoom meetings over the last 6 months. I hope that you'll decide to be with us at our next convention, national convention, which will be in New Orleans. Now, we don't know if it'll be virtual or in person or a hybrid. We're hoping we'll be in person. Last time we were in New Orleans was 1997, our largest convention ever. We're going to have a convention and it's going to be great. And we need you to be there July 6th to 11th next year to be part of the democratic process of this organization. Now, why am I part of the democratic process in this organization? Well, for one reason, and that is the value proposition of what this organization does for me. We describe it this way. I am filled with hope, energy, and love by participating in the National Federation of the Blind. Because my expectations are raised, my contributions make a difference to me and to others, and I can celebrate the realization of my dreams with my Federation family. I participate in the democracy that we have in this movement because it impacts my life every day. And I'm here on a cloudy Saturday because I know that this gathering is going to give me the hope and strength that I need to face the battles ahead that we're going to have as blind people. And that leads me to the last value that we have in this organization, and that is love. Love is the feeling that the Federation provides the support of this network. Love is what drives what we do in this movement. Love is the reason that we dedicate hundreds of extra hours, thousands of extra dollars to making sure that this movement is available to every blind person. And if you're not sure about what love means in this organization, go back and look at what we've done in the last 6 months. Blind people in this organization in Indiana and all across the country have responded so amazingly to COVID-19. We've decided that COVID-19 is not going to stop us, that we're even going to enhance the work that we're doing. We've been onboarding new members in a real way. We've been doing real outreach. Blind people have been organizing efforts to get groceries to blind people and transportation to folks that need to get to testing centers. And the stories are endless. And that's because of love. And that's why I'm here with you today, because I am blessed to have this family network that we have in this organization. And I wish more blind people would take advantage of it. It does take real energy and it takes real dollars to do what we need to do. And I heard the PAC report last night. Congratulations to Indiana for continuing to move up in the PAC plan. We can do better. I'd love to see folks who are here today decide they're going to throw in $5 a month towards supporting our ongoing work. Our pre-authorized contribution program gives us the discretionary dollars to be in the places we need to be. Those dollars aren't tied to government grants or restrictions. If we need to go sue a state over voting, we can use those dollars to do so. We can't do that with our grant money from the National Science Foundation. If we need to go help a blind parent with a lawyer because they've had their child taken away, we can do that with those PAC dollars because they're not restricted. I need you to go to nfb.org/PAC. That's PAC. Fill out the form. You can increase your contribution. You can make a new contribution. And by the way, if you're in a position to give a gift to the national organization this month, our partners are doubling that gift. We've been working with Aspero. They're the maker of JAWS and Zoom Text and many other products. I have a braille display here on my desk from Aspero. They've committed to match every dollar contributed to this National Federation of the Blind during the Meet the Blind Month, the month of October, up to $50,000. And we want that $50,000 from Aspero. The reason they've made that commitment is because they have experienced the love that we share in this organization. They understand that we're not in it for anything else but to make a difference in our lives and the lives of other blind people. If you're in a position to make a contribution, I know people are hurting. I know there's been bad circumstances, but if you can do something this month, it's going to be double whatever you do. And if you can make that $5 commitment every month through our PAC plan, it's going to make a huge difference in what we do going forward. Look, there's a lot more we're doing, and it happens because of the work that we do together. And so I want to leave you with the promise that we make to each other in this organization. And that is, together with love, hope, and determination, we transform dreams into reality. That's why I show up here. And I'm blessed to have the opportunity to share with you a little bit of what we've been doing on the national stage. And I know that's why you show up, because you recognize that we're better together. We're stronger together. We're going to work through the hard things together, and we're going to do so with love, hope, and determination. I want to close also by thanking our leaders, the board, the NFB of Indiana. This is not an easy time to lead. And I think this board, all of you who have agreed to serve and who have made this convention possible, who have continued to move forward, are exemplary of what we say when we say together with love, hope, and determination. So I love you all. I appreciate you. And I'm thankful for your work. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind.
All right. All right. Excellent presentation, sir. We love you as well. We love our organization. We love our movement. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that great presentation.
I'm looking forward to trying the pie, too.
All right. Yes, sir. I'm glad you got it. Let us know how it is. It's supposed to be one of the best places in Baltimore, by the way, I'm told.
Yeah. So this pie is called a Baltimore bomb, which I got to say, when something shows up at your door that's called a Baltimore bomb, you kind of got to worry, right? So I had to look up what a Baltimore bomb is. Now, this is a pie that came from Dangerously Delicious Pies, which is a great pie place in Baltimore. Okay. And this apparently is a chess pie that has mixed into it burger cookies, which are a very Baltimore unique thing. They're sandwich cookies with chocolate in the middle. This pie has to weigh, I don't know, 10 pounds. It's crazy. So I'm going to bring a slice of it to the banquet, and that'll be my banquet meal.